Well, here we are at the God School. It's March 12th, and we've been teaching and hopefully a little preaching, excuse me, through the Gospel of John. But given the fact that the crowds are so overwhelming this evening, I'm reminded of an old story where one Sunday only one person showed up for church, an old farmer. And the preacher went ahead and delivered his sermon, and it was about an hour and a half long. And at the end, as he used to do, the preacher went to the back door of the church and greeted and spoke to the congregants. And so the old farmer came up to the preacher. He says, "Kind of a long message this morning, wasn't it, preacher?" And the preacher's response was, "Well, you know, when it's feeding time, you got to put out the bale of hay." And the farmer said something to the effect of, "Yeah, but when it's only one cow, you don't give them the whole bale." So, look, this is March 12, 2011. Those who have television, newspapers, internet, have had an unbelievable view of the power of nature. I say not that this is the wrath of God, as I'm sure many of my so-called brethren will be talking about. The wrath of God described in Scripture of the tribulation, the great tribulation, goes far beyond the devastating scenes that we have seen coming out of Japan. This is not the wrath of God. However, you know, there's passages in Scripture that preceding the Lord's coming, there are great troubles. You know, I don't know when our Lord Jesus is coming back, but I know preceding his coming, there will be trouble. When God is ready to pour out that wrath that we call the tribulation, the great tribulation, I have all confidence that his church, that is, those who belong to him, that is, those who were chosen by him and bought by him, will not be in here in this world that day. For the wrath of God that we deserved, the testimony of the Christian is, was poured out on Christ for us. We won't be here. But that's not to say to all who are his, be aware, not of God's wrath, but of his presence. Because he told us he would always be with us. He also told us which will be part of the subject of next week's message, that end of the 16th chapter of John, in the world you shall have tribulation. I just want to talk a little bit about tribulation tonight. I'd like to start out from a reading from our friend C.H. Spurgeon. The verse of scripture that he wants us to contemplate is Acts 14:22, wherein it says, We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, God's people have their trials. It was never designed by God when he chose his people that they should be an untried people. They were chosen in the furnace of affliction. They were never chosen to worldly peace and earthly joy. I need to stop here for a moment. Never chosen to worldly peace. Earthly joy, Dr. Spurgeon, I want to disagree with you a little bit. When you read the life of Jesus, there were times of earthly joy. His very ministry opened at a party. And he kept the party going by making more wine. And that's not to say that our joy comes from earthly functions, but at the same time, we cannot say God has not called us into a life that does have joy in this life. Not all the time, but certainly the life God called us to does not eliminate joy in this life. You know, I'm just reminded right now as I speak of that passage in the 16th chapter of John, talking about the woman at her time and the tribulation she goes to. She forgets all about the tribulation for the joy that a man is born unto her. You know, so sometimes preachers get a little extreme. Freedom from sickness and pains of mortality was never promised them. But when their Lord drew up the Charter of Privileges, he included chastisements amongst the things to which they should inevitably be heirs. Trials are part of our lot. They were predestinated for us in God's solemn decrees and bequeathed us in Christ's last legacies. So surely as the stars are fashioned by his hands and the orbits fixed by him, so surely are our trials allotted to us. He has ordained their season and their place, their intensity, and their effect they shall have upon us. Good men must never expect to escape troubles. If they do, they will be disappointed, for none of their predecessors have been without them. Mark the patience of Job. Remember Abraham. For he had his trials, and by his faith under them, he became the father of the faithful. Note well the biographies of all the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and you shall discover none of those whom God made vessels of mercy, who were not made to pass through the fire of affliction. Key word there, pass through. It is ordained of old that the cross of trouble should be engraven on every vessel of mercy as the royal mark whereby the king's vessels of honor are distinguished. But although tribulation is thus the path of God's children, they have the comfort of knowing that their master has traversed it before them. His grace to support them, his example to teach them how to endure. And when they reach the kingdom, it will more than make amends for the much tribulation through which they passed to enter it. Paul says, I count the sufferings of this present life to be as nothing compared to the glory we shall have in Christ Jesus throughout eternity. My desire through the God School is to present God and by that presentation that faith might come, because it is only by faith that we continue in this relationship with God. Certainly not by circumstance, though many today and all the way back to Paul's day would teach the church, I believe falsely, that, you know, if you really were a Christian, you wouldn't have any trouble in this life. And these Pentecostals who one after another attempt to cheer the people of God up, telling them that God is going to change their circumstance, rather than telling them that God is with them in the midst of the circumstance, are providing false hope, and the day is going to come when believing they've been taught right, they'll lose the endurance of the hope of this positive message about circumstance in this life changing, and thereby possibly, if it were possible, losing their faith in God. That's not what the scripture teaches. The fifth chapter of Romans, Paul has spent four chapters, and he's not finished, describing this relationship with God whereinto we are called. And he says, therefore, being righteousified by faith, that is, being given God's own righteousness. King James says, being justified by faith, made just like God by faith. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, unmerited favor, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In hope of the glory, in hope that What? That we receive the glory of God. You know, I know there's a scripture or there's a thought that says God will not share his glory with everyone. Baloney. He shared it with Jesus. The 84th Psalm says he gives grace and glory. You know, no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, and we have access by faith into this grace, unmerited favor, wherein we stand and rejoice, that is, boast. We boast in the hope of the glory of God, that is, not only the glory of God, but that which God promised. That's hope. It's not seen yet. If it was seen, it wouldn't be hope. But Paul goes on to say, and not only so, but we glory, the word, same word, boast, in tribulations also, knowing that, and I'll read the King James and then go back, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. The quick exegete. Paul says in the third verse of the fifth chapter of Romans, and we don't only rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that we are made just like God by faith, and we have peace with God. He says not only this, but we boast, we glory in tribulations. This word we get from the Latin. The Latin word is tribulum, and it was that beating of the wheat to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, the chaff flies away. It has no weight in it. But the wheat has weight. And the weight that we have is from God, of God, who has promised to occupy those who do live by faith. And so Paul says, we glory in being whacked, knowing that this whacking, King James says, patience. I wish they would have, you know, gotten their heads out of the cloud a little more, because patience always seems to me, you know, a guy just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. No, the word is endurance. And endurance incorporates courage and hope. It involves some activity. I'm not just sitting here enjoying being whacked. I'm understanding that this whacking is designed to bring endurance. And what does endurance bring but experience? I've been whacked. Oh, God, have I been whacked. I don't even know, God, if you know how much I've been whacked. And God says, yeah, you've been whacked, and you've endured it, and the result of the endurance is you have the experience that you made it through those whackings. Whackings that, I assure you, in every Christian's life, They didn't think they'd make them through. Oh, I just like to die. I've had enough. I believe that's a sound that comes out of every Christian's lips at some point in their life, at some point in their whackings. But through endurance, we made it through those whackings. And we now have the experience that we made it through. And the scripture would have us understand that the more mature the saint, the tougher the test. But in every test, the scripture also lets us know God is in the midst, and He'll not test us beyond what we are able. Not beyond what we think we are able, but beyond what we are able. And Him being our empowerment, we can endure all things. Having the experience of making it through these whackings, through endurance, and looking back at those whackings and having the experience we made them through, then we have hope. These things produce hope. And Paul says, and hope makes not ashamed. If our testimony were other, then we are on our way to heaven, then we might very well find ourselves in circumstance that would suggest that we should be ashamed. But the testimony of God's people is they are on their way to heaven. And if we will keep this vision, a promise of God that Jesus would return and take us to be where He is. This is the hope we have. This is the vision we have. This is the promise we have. And if we, by faith, keep this vision, certainly, whatever tribulation, whatever trouble, whatever circumstance comes, we will not be ashamed of the hope that we have in God. And that's the God School for tonight.